Well, I've worked with Deepak in one way or another for many years. I've known him since, well, what was it, 1987. We met that we were both being honored by the chieftains of the Maori tribes in New Zealand. he's a world mind. He's a world mind. He's very interesting. Like Margaret Mead, he's unusually lucky. You know, I've studied a number of people like Margaret and Deepak and the others who have an unusual level of good fortune. And Margaret just said, well, yes, I'm blessed. But with Deepak, when I asked him these questions, he talks about his early years, that his mother, because they were Hindus, said, would say, Deepak, you are Shiva. The little Deepak. Yes, Mama, I am Shiva. You are Ganesh. Oh, I'm Ganesh. I hit you with my nose. You are Lakshmi. Why, very wealthy. So he really began to blend the archetypal structures of the great qualities of life into his own belief system. And he's also, he believes very closely like I do, that we are members of Indra's net. We are members of the universe in biodegradable space-time suits, and that we have access to this enormous amount of energy, creativity, power, inventiveness, and the ability to truly make things happen when we get in sync, what he calls synchro-destiny, synchronous destiny. And so he does live that way. He's a generous, very interesting, lovely man. And I have only wonderful things to say about him. But we've done a fair number of seminars together, quite a few, actually.
And now you have, Deepak, at an older time in your life, have you gained some insight from him that has served your life? Or maybe the insight of what, maybe it's luck, that makes somebody a very special soul, exemplary leader.
Well, they don't believe that they are limited. I mean, I've met Deepak's types before. Meow, indeed. They don't believe that they are limited. They have an expectation of grace. They believe that they're living in a graceful, so that even terrible things might happen to them. It is a passing thing because they hold on to the vision of the possible. It's not unlike what Padmasambhava said in the 8th century. Padmasambhava, the great Indian sage who brought Buddhism to Tibet. He and his wife, Yeshi. And they talked about as viewed, so appears. As viewed, so appears. So it's how do you change the structure of your mind field and with it your body field so that you live in a very different reality than most people do. Shift your nature of reality in the way you see it. And just like in a good experiment in physics where the observer changes the thing observed, it's the same thing with regard to the whole gestalt of reality in all its different parts. And that's what I've learned. I wrote about this in a book that... reasonably recent book of mine called What is Consciousness, which I wrote with Irvin Laszlo and Larry Dossey also. And I firmly believe, and I know that this is part of his belief system, but it's also with him encased within practices in Hinduism and Buddhism, spiritual practices, subtle practices. Because when you get into some of the subtle realms of the human body-mind system, you are really open up to the universe itself, and things happen. So it's just self-evident, the kind of work, Donna, that you are doing, that David is doing, is subtle work in the fields of mind and consciousness that shift not only the relationship to the body and to the mind, but it also becomes a kind of soul craft. And so craft and spiritual practice are close, but they're not necessarily the same thing. Because in spirituality, it is something that is generic, that is available. In soul craft, it is unique to the individual and his and her own differences and possibilities. And people have found a way to literally tap into the pulse points of spiritual, psychological, and soulful becoming that then shifts not simply the body, but the presencing around the body mind that then shifts and ripples as a ripple tide of shift in the energy systems that then are able to be receptive to larger dreams and deeper initiatives.